Take a couple minutes in chapter 11. And as you're turning there, last week we briefly noted just a few of the many scriptures that have to do with the prophecy of Jesus' birth. And today I'd just like to spend a few minutes, the next few minutes, if you will, in those first six verses of Isaiah 11. In those first verses, Isaiah provides early insight into the lineage of Jesus, the power of his spirit, his oneness with the Father, and his appointment as the righteous judge. So if you're there in Isaiah 11, we're just going to go through verses 1 through 4. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, we know that Jesus was of the stem of Jesse, that lineage, Jesse being the father of David. And here we see that Jesus is described as a root, a rod of the stem of Jesse. And that word rod here is the Hebrew word kotar, meaning an unused root of uncertain significance. Jesus was made a man of no reputation, of uncertain significance in the eyes of men. And note that word branch in your Bible, that word branch is capitalized. And it refers to one of the over 70 names in Scripture for Jesus. His roots refers to the establishment of God's chosen people originating with Abraham. And as we noted a couple of weeks ago, the generations of Jesus' lineage are found in Matthew 1, chapter 1. And there are a total of 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, divided into three distinct groups of 14 generations each. And we know that the number three has to do with the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and the resurrection. And the number 14 has to do with deliverance or salvation. The sum of which is 42, which has to do with heavenly appearance. Jesus shall return again. We shall see him face to face in glory, as we just sang. So there are prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And you know, there are a lot of prophecies that were made in the New Testament too, but we could spend the rest of our lives going through all of these. But just for today, as our pastor recently brought out, the lineage of Jesus included people from many kindreds, various tongues, various nations. And I was thinking about that, how Jesus came that through him, all men of every kindred, tongue, nation shall be saved, regardless of where they're from, what they had done, who they were, who their parents were. I thought about that. It's like Jesus came to save the whole world. The whole world. And every human being in the world. Everyone who believes. So it doesn't matter your background, where you live, what nation you're from. It doesn't matter. For Jesus so loved the world. As a man, he was both the fleshly offspring of mankind, but he was the spiritual offspring of the Father. by the power of the Holy Spirit. And only Jesus, he's the only one that ever fulfilled the prophecy of being both the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's the only one. There is no other. Verse 2 tells us that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And we see that that prophecy was fulfilled when the Spirit, resting upon Jesus after being baptized by John. So in Matthew 3:16 we read, "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And it was necessary that Jesus be baptized to fulfill John's proclamation, which we read of in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Isaiah prophesies of the seven fulfillments of Jesus in the second and third verses of chapter 11. He said, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, of the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding." In Isaiah 9:6, we've read this many times at this time of the year. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Other names for Jesus. I was thinking how the Bride of Christ, and we know this because we are in a meeting that really emphasizes the Bride of Christ, don't we? How she's going to be a perfect reflection of him in every way. And she shall share jointly with him in his place of rulership. Jesus and his bride shall be equally yoked together, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one spirit in him. I was thinking how once I, perhaps like many of you, were at enmity with God. We were separated from him because of our sin. Because of our sin. There was this chasm that needed to be bridged. But we were reconciled to God by grace through Jesus Christ. And I was thinking also about every condition, every situation, every affliction, every temptation that we face as human beings. Jesus is the only answer. You know, it's comical in a way, but it's tragic also in a way to me that people search everywhere for answers to their problems. How many actually turn to the Lord Jesus? Maybe as a last resort, but he should be your first resort. He can overcome everything that you're facing with. It doesn't matter if it's an addiction, a lust of the flesh. It doesn't matter. We know that when we call upon the name of Jesus, all those afflictions which are from Satan, he flees. He can solve everything if we will just let him. Then in verse 3, "and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord." That brought to mind another verse. Jesus always did the will of the Father. He always did his Father's will. He and his Father are one. In Luke 2:52, we read that, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." But through his submission to the Father's will, he overcame everything. He already overcame it for us. When we align ourselves with the will of God, we are more than conquerors. We already are. We just have to believe it. And we read that Jesus is the righteous judge when we read of him in 2 Timothy 4:8. You see where we read here that he doesn't judge as man judges? See, man judges on the outside. What do you see? Jesus judges the heart, the inward man. There's so much more. I probably only got through 2/3 of my notes. Maybe we'll take it up again next Sunday. But I'm just so thankful that we know what we know by the grace of God. And one of the things we know is that he will return again in a similar way to when he ascended through the clouds in glory to catch us away. I hope it's today.